On the show today, the future of memory, how technology is changing how we remember our past. So far, we have focused on preserving personal memories. But what about collective memories of a people and their culture? Take St. Sophia's Cathedral in Kyiv.
St. Sophia Cathedral, which we name the heart of Ukraine, the main church in Ukraine, more than 1,000 years.
This is Yurko Prepodobny. He says for 1,000 years, St. Sophia, with its stone towers and 13 gold cupolas, has stood at the center of historic Kyiv.
It's not simple structure. It's from the underground few rooms to the main hall. Corridors, tunnels with arches inside, and a lot of cupolas inside.
The cathedral is a rare surviving example of Byzantine architecture and a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's also considered the heart of Ukraine for the art within its sanctuaries that depict the earliest moments of Ukrainian history.
St. Sophia has the oldest mosaics, fresco on the walls. That walls include all our history, like Ukrainian. It's a layers and layers of the centuries.
The capital of Ukraine under a new wave of Russian drone attacks.
A barrage of over 150 Russian
military officials say Russia targeted the city with drones.
Every building in Ukraine in danger. St. Sophia had missile attack 600 meters from them.
St. Sophia and hundreds of other historic buildings have been damaged or destroyed in Ukraine over the last few years, which is why Yurko and his team went to visit St. Sophia and scan it.
We scanned everything. Every morning we woke up and we scanned that building for 1 week.
Yurko is a co-founder of Skyron, a Ukrainian organization that does digital preservation by creating 3D digital versions of heritage sites. He's already scanned the city center of his hometown of Lviv, and he and his team are now scanning buildings across the entire country.
Now we scan more than 50 per year.
In the past, when war, natural disasters, or the passage of time damaged or destroyed buildings, all that were left were sketches, photographs, and memories. But now, high-tech 3D scans like the ones Yurko is doing preserve every physical aspect of these places in detailed digital files.
What I've witnessed firsthand is the way that technology can safeguard the memories and heritage that we have of our shared humanity.
This is Chance Kokenauer.
I'm a senior program manager at Google Arts and Culture.
Google is one of Skyron's partners in Ukraine, offering both tech and financial support. And Chance is an expert in scanning technology. He started out as a Mayan archaeologist and first learned about this technology in the 2000s. But it wasn't until 2015 that he was convinced of its potential in Iraq.
So in 2015, ISIL, or the Islamic State of the Levant, they entered the Mosul Museum in Iraq.
This morning, ISIS claims to have destroyed priceless pieces of history. A video posted yesterday.
They recorded themselves destroying the museum collection.
The museum reportedly housed more than 170 genuine antiquities.
That video went viral. I remember when it was shared online.
People around the world were shocked at the loss of these ancient artifacts. And it made Chance wonder if he could, at the very least, go back and create a digital record of them for posterity.
If there were a number of photographs of these artifacts, maybe we could create a digital copy or 3D model that could bring that artifact back from being lost, at least in a digital form, to preserve its memory for future generations. It was like an aha moment that we thought, why not at least try? And at that point, to be clear, we had no idea that anyone had any photographs of these objects. So really, it was just a hypothesis.
And so, 2 weeks after we saw this video, we started the project called Project Mosul.
Chance Kochenour explained from the TED stage in 2016.
The key to this technology is called photogrammetry, and it allows us to use two-dimensional images taken of the same object from different angles to create a 3D model. I know you may be thinking this sounds like magic, but it's not. What the computer can do is it can detect similar features between the photographs, similar features of the object. Then, by using multiple photos, it can begin to reconstruct the object in 3D.
It's very similar to how our eyes actually distinguish depth when we look at objects that are near or far from us. And so it's really the application of that. It's comparing one photo with another and then another and then another in the sequences. And then algorithms piece those together to form a three-dimensional representation of that object.
So how do you go about tracking down photographs? I mean, tourists who'd visited Mosul, is that where you start?
Yeah. We're talking about a location that had been closed to the public for a number of years. It was a zone of human conflict for decades, actually. And so we just kind of placed an open call to find anyone out there that may have these photographs. And a U.S. service woman had happened to have visited the museum and taken photographs years prior. And I would say the most famous of the artifacts, she had taken 12 photographs of the Lion of Mosul.
The Lion of Mosul was an 8-foot-tall statue carved around 3,000 years ago that stood guard at an Assyrian palace.
They were perfectly taken from the different angles. So it was quite an incredible, we were just like, well, let's put the 12 photographs when we got them in. We were like, let's just test it. And we were like, wow.
After Chance got the photos, it came back to life on his computer. He could even 3D print it, a perfect reproduction, small enough to sit on his desk.
And at the time, we were testing software that create 3D models through photogrammetry. And so we tested it with many of them, and we created the 3D model in only a couple of minutes, even to the point where you can zoom in to see the original text that was inscribed on the side of this ancient carved lion.
An amazing thing lost to history. You preserve it in some ways digitally. You can print out a 3D version of it. But that doesn't mean that it remains in people's minds, right? Like, how do you make it possible for people to even know that it ever existed?
Yeah. So in 2019, the Mosul Museum hosted its first exhibition after the occupation had ended. What they wanted to do was to have a celebration of art and music and bring the community together. And we were invited to participate. So we sent a number of these 3D prints to the museum. They were actually placed alongside artworks by local artists that had painted during the occupation. So this was kind of an example of connecting the past to the present. But we also used these 3D models to place them inside of a virtual museum. You could go on a VR tour. And so many people became aware of incredible heritage from this region. And the object itself as a digital twin is now accessible to zoom in, rotate, and see in a way that would not have been possible even if you visited the museum in Mosul.
It's been a little while since you gave your talk, and since then, you've joined Google, you've continued doing this work, and the technology has advanced a lot.
Yes, it really has. The technology has expanded and developed so rapidly. The technology that makes photogrammetry possible is the same that's used for AI today. It's now accessible to so many more people that it's much cheaper to do. Photogrammetry is being done on small mobile devices. A drone can fly around outside of buildings or even inside of buildings. But essentially, we have vastly expanded the number of 3D objects and monuments that we're putting online, along with our partners that are doing this globally. With our partners in Ukraine, for example, we've launched more than 200 more 3D models that range not only from landmarks But in addition to that, museums that we've worked with could essentially take artworks and hang them in a virtual gallery. People around the world can virtually walk around inside of a museum.
With accessing these things virtually or collecting them online, is there a part of you that feels, I mean, obviously that's a wonderful thing to preserve it in some respect, but we are missing out on the tactile experience of seeing art and architecture right in front of us, which is an extraordinary feeling.
I fully agree. I don't think it will ever replace the tactile way of being able to experience art in person. For me, the reason I became a Mayan archaeologist is because I walked into an ancient Maya city, had some interest in history at one point in my life, and I was just blown away at the experience of being there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still absolutely worried that things may be lost to natural disasters, climate change, time, human conflict. And what I think digital technology offers us is a means to digitally protect and document the world's art and culture in a way that it's accessible to people, for people to know about it. And hopefully they have the opportunity to visit and see it themselves.
That was Chance Kokenauer. He is a senior program manager at Google Arts and Culture. You can see his full talk at TED.com. Many thanks also to Yurko Prebodobny. His organization is called Skyron. To see their scans of St. Sophia and other historic sites, you can go to goo.gle/Ukraine. And before you go, a big thank you if you're one of our new NPR Plus supporters. We so appreciate you signing up. Your support helps fund our work. And if you're thinking about joining, it is really easy. Just go to plus.npr.org. This episode was produced by Rachel Faulkner-White, Katie Monteleone, and Matthew Cloutier. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour and me. Our production staff at NPR also includes James Delahousie, Hersha Nahada, and Fiona Guerin. Our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our audio engineers were Robert Rodriguez and Gilly Moon. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Roxanne Highlash, Alejandra Salazar, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.